I'm going to call this meeting to order. Today is Monday, October 4th, 2021, and this is a special meeting of the Elizabeth School District Board of Directors, and it is 6 o'clock p.m. Could we get roll call, please?
Director Beckendorf?
Here.
Director Farnfeller?
Here.
Director Haynes?
Present.
Director Pritchard?
Here.
Okay, would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so first off, we will call in Roxanne Avias. I hope I'm saying her name right. Hi, Roxanne.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Thank you for applying for a position on the board, and we thank you for coming to the meeting tonight and taking the time out to interview. If you could just give us a one-minute overview of Roxanne, that'd be great.
Sure. So, thank you so much for having me. My name is Roxanne Avilas, and I live in Elizabeth. We moved here about a year and a half ago, and I love this community. I am also a public school educator. I've been teaching for 10 years. I previously taught at Singing Hills Elementary within the district. I have two children that attend Elizabeth Middle School, and I'm a very active community member. I've made a lot of friends and met a lot of people over the last 4 years, and I'm just excited about the opportunity to kind of be that bridge between the community and the school district.
Okay, great. And Director Karcher is going to start off with questions.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for being here. Parents at Elizabeth expect teachers, administrators, and board members to keep political agendas out of the schools. How would you work with your fellow board members to successfully continue this important standard?
I think it's important to always find your ground and keep the focus on what the students need. And I know that that's hard, especially right now. The world is so political, but the purpose of the board is to really serve those students and make sure that students are successful. And I think it's important to just kind of remind fellow board members of that grounding point.
So that's good. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. I will ask the next question. I'm Kim. So I noticed, and I probably, because I read your article or I read your statement in the Elbert County News, but I already kind of know what maybe your views are, but maybe not. So anyways, I don't know why I took these off, but it's like I could talk without my glasses, Matt. Okay, so my question for you is, since March of 2020, COVID policies have been a major source of arguments, disagreements amongst schools, amongst families, you know, friends, you name it. So my question for you is, are you in favor of requiring all staff and students to wear face masks? And then, why or why not? And then, if you say, well, go ahead. And then if I need to follow up, I'll ask.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I am in favor of face coverings with populations that are not able to be vaccinated. I know that right now middle and high school students and staff are able to. I worry about the younger kiddos, and I worry about them possibly bringing sickness home and infecting elder family members. So I am in favor of a face mask, not necessarily for like district-wide for everyone, but for the kiddos that are not able at this point to be vaccinated. Okay. Did I answer both pieces?
Yeah, it actually did. That's it. Thank you.
Paul, Director Beckendorf, last next question. I'm sorry.
That is how you pronounce that ridiculously long last name.
I'm a fellow German, so I can pronounce your last name.
Students are at the heart of everything that we do here in Elizabeth. How would you contribute to this cornerstone idea as a member of the Board of Education?
So I became a teacher because I love kids. I fell in love with education when I was a little girl, and I'm a very strong believer in a good quality public education. I always try to keep my focus on the students, even within my own classroom. I try to think about what the students need and what works best for them, and I think that it's important to, you know, just keep the keep our students at the heart of everything that we do. And, you know, every student needs something different. And so it really takes, like, building those relationships as well and getting to know your students and their families to kind of help figure out what everyone needs, because there's not one tool that, you know, helps all.
I do have a follow-up. That's a good one.
Of course.
You mentioned get to know the students and the parents. Very important. How do you do that?
So if there's one area of education that I pride myself on, it's the fact that I'm very relatable and relational. And I really take the time to invite families into my classroom and make phone calls home, whether they're positive or not so positive. To always be available and to communicate positively with families, because I think that the students are just kind of one piece, and really their family represents who they are as well. And so I just try to involve families as much as I can in everything that we do.
That's important.
Yeah.
All right, your current teacher right now?
Yes.
What grade?
Kindergarten.
Oh, good times.
So in your opinion, what are the top two or three most important characteristics of an effective board member? Because I know it's different being a teacher
yes.
than a school board member.
It's different, but I feel like some of the characteristics are also the same. I feel like as a good board member, you have to be a good listener. And, you know, a lot of it, I'm guessing, is probably just listening to people, whether they're saying positive things to you or not. Listening is going to be one of the biggest qualities. The second piece is that I feel it's really important to be a good communicator, because I know that the board kind of serves in the middle between the superintendent and the district, what's going on, and then also with the families. So communication is a big part of that. So I would say listening, communicating, and then just being able to be open and unbiased in thinking about policies and how would they affect kids. And I think those would be the top three. I do serve on an equity panel for Pearson, so I feel like that part, like, I know I believe in masks for younger kids, but I am able to look at things in an unbiased perspective and see how they're going to affect all parties, and that's something that I do regularly
okay.
with Pearson as well, and
right.
I think it's important to kind of remove those biases, especially when we're thinking about issues that are, like, really hit home with our
right.
students.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, thank you.
Could I ask one more quick question?
No.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time.
Okay, good.
We've got a few more questions.
Yes. How, you know, as a former teacher, educator, not as a former, you're a current,
yes.
right? As former in our district, how important is it for you to have a trusting relationship with the superintendent?
I think it's extremely important. And I think because... Well, relational, right? So, like, I feel like you should have a positive relationship with everyone that you interact with, because we really do lean on each other and rely on each other for support at different times. But I think that it's really important, as, you know, as a board member, to have a good relationship with the superintendent, because you're working hand in hand on different issues. And it's also important that, you know, the community, the students and their families and the staff see that you have a positive relationship with the superintendent, because I think that makes them kind of have a little more positive feel about the superintendent.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
I have another, since we have time.
Yes, ma'am.
So describe the kind of relationship you want to have with your fellow board members. Like, I'm a fun person. Let's just get
No, she's not. Don't listen to her. No, I'm kidding. She is.
It's always about me. Somewhere in the room. Okay, hello.
Positive relationship. You know, I think it's important that no matter, you know, whether you're on a board or you're a teacher on a team of teachers, or you're an engineer with a group of people, I think it's important to build that relationship and be able to just kind of be yourself, you know, to be able to feel safe in the space that you're in and not be afraid to make mistakes, but also being comfortable to kind of say, like, hey, I don't know how to do this, or I'm not sure about this, but
or even to
I'm
say
willing
I disagree
to learn
with you.
Yes.
In a nice and easy way, and then let's all just discuss
Absolutely.
It and talk about it. Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to fill in your blanks,
no,
but
that's okay.
Because it happens.
It does.
You know, in any organization, anywhere you go. I mean,
absolutely. And I'm a great team player. Any one of my teammates that I've ever worked with could tell you that I always come to the table with ideas, but I'm also able to kind of hold my ideas back so that my teammates can kind of share their ideas and opinions, and I'm very open to communication and criticism and suggestions. So,
very nice.
I had it and now I lost it. Gosh darn it.
Is it the next
one? There it is. No.
Okay.
What would you intend to be probably your biggest contribution as a board member to the school district?
I really want to bridge, you know, that communication piece, that relationship from the board to not just families, but also staff. I feel like the teachers are a huge part of what we do, and the teachers aren't always represented, because I know the students are at the core of what we do, but the teachers affect kind of how we do things with the students and the families. And so I really want to be that bridge, not just to students, but also to the community and to the teachers. And I feel like my experience as a public school educator kind of brings something new to the board that, you know, I'm living and breathing this educational world right now, and I know what it feels like to be in that time and place, and I've experienced it. And so I think that that's, you know, a strong quality that I can bring to the board, especially right now.
Do you see that bridge not existing right now, or how do you see that currently?
I don't see it as not existing, but I don't see it as, you know, a very strong, sturdy bridge. I feel like, you know, I've talked to a lot of community members about the board, and a lot of people that I've spoken to in the community either don't have an opinion or they're not really familiar with the board members, and I think it's so important that we make ourselves available in public, and that, you know, they know who we are and they know that we're there for them no matter what. And I feel like maybe that piece is not as strong as it could be.
Okay, that's fair. Thank you.
And probably have time for one more. Can you describe the board's role as it relates to the superintendent's role in the district?
So my understanding is that the board kind of guides policy making and does all the back end work on figuring out all the details and the inner workings of the school district, and then works with the superintendent to kind of enact in those policies and ensure that they are carried through the ways that they were meant to be. But like I said, I'm learning, and so I may not know everything right now, but I definitely am interested in pursuing more.
It is a big learning experience. There's definitely a learning curve.
Yes,
does anybody have anything else? We still got a couple minutes.
I'm good.
Kim?
I did bring resumes. Would you guys like a resume?
I think you sent that to us.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I have.
No, we didn't.
No,
yeah.
We didn't.
Oh, we didn't.
Okay.
Well, that's right. Just the letter.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Perfect.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. And you may have already gone over this, but I'll ask one more. So what are your most effective communication skills? Because you've talked a lot about communication.
Talk it off.
Yeah.
No,
she's brought it up a few times, so it's
being a good listener. Also, you know, not just listening, but being an active listener and paying attention to things that people are actually saying, and empathizing and collaborating. Okay. Kind of like the hometown initiative. You know, all the skills that we're trying to teach kids now, I think that's important in just life in general as they move forward.
Right. So have you looked in on the homegrown, talking about the homegrown talents,
yes.
So you understand what that is?
I do. And I think it's exciting. I think it's important, especially out here, because we're not a big city, you know,
which
is what I love about Elizabeth, is that we're the little small town, and, you know, we do big things.
Right.
And I think it's important that, you know, we express to kids that college doesn't have to be the option for everyone, and that always is, and that there's a lot of other trades that need people.
Right, absolutely.
So,
yeah, it's a great thing to come to our school district for sure.
Yes, and I'm excited.
Okay, well, I think we're done on time, so we really appreciate you coming in. It was nice getting
nice
a chance to talk to you.
Me.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Yes.
Stick it back in there.
Drive safe. Have a good night.
Yeah, thank you
so much.
Thank you
for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Cut. Did you go? You good? Okay. Just let me know if you want to take a break. We'll keep going.
Yeah.
I'll go. Yep. Next step, we will call in Michael Hudson.
Over in the hot seat.
Sure, without a name in
front. You see when you. And you go into the room and there's a table with no coffee cup at your end. It's fine.
Well, you've got it.
And I brought a fan club.
There you go. So thank you for coming in tonight. We appreciate your interest in the appointment for an open board seat. And we appreciate you taking the time to come in and interview with us. If you could just 1 minute brief overview of Michael Hodson.
Okay.
I know we have your information here. Your resume, yeah. Anything, but just...
So I kind of had, not necessarily by choice, but a sort of somewhat nomadic life through the Marine Corps, and then I commanded a battalion, and then no better chance to retire than at that opportunity. And so then I went in, and for 5 years I ran a large school district on all the business side. I was also a school board member in our own district there. Had the opportunity to move back here. I lived here in elementary school. And then moved when I was a kid, and I had a chance to come back and have a ranch here in town, and saw you had an opening and thought, shoot, I'm happy to help. So I have some background in it, but mostly I just, I care. I'm coaching the local football team. Just, any way I can help folks out.
Well, we appreciate it. Okay, so, thank you for your service. Absolutely. Director Karcher will start off our question.
It's an easy one. Okay. Well, I don't know. parents in Elizabeth expect teachers, administrators, and board members to keep political agendas out of the schools.
Yep.
How would you work with your fellow board members to successfully continue this important standard?
Well, sure. I think it's kind of an individual effort, right? Each person, each member of the board is their own entity, and so I think my job in that would be to just keep that, man. I guess that's great to even bring that up. Obviously, it's a very contentious time. My wife, who you may have recognized, was on the president of the Capistrano Valley School District, and they were hugely political and painful because you're having fights that aren't about the daggone kids, and so you've just lost the whole point of what it is that we do, right? You're not supposed to be. This is not a political job, and so stop it. And so I think. My job would be to do that, I think, just myself, and hopefully would expect that the other members would follow suit.
Awesome. Thank you.
Kim, director from Beller, will ask the next question.
So my question is, since March of 2020, COVID policies have been a major source of disagreements, arguments, not only within the schools, families. It's separated some families and so forth. So my question is, are you in favor of requiring all staff and students to wear face masks? Why and why not?
I thought we just said we weren't going to be political. Obviously, it was a very difficult situation without clear-cut, absolute kind of things. And I'm sympathetic, quite frankly, to folks on both sides. That's a sincere belief that either you should or you should not. It's a little bit easier question now because I think now we're at a point where, okay, we have some other things in place, right? We have vaccines and the like. I presume I am, and I presume you all are vaccinated. So at this point, I don't think that enforcing a mask mandate is, if it were entirely in my court, I don't know that I don't think I would advocate for a mask mandate. Going back sometime when I was very appreciative that the district kept schools open when so many did not, and we were able to get our kids, because there's just no substitute for in-person. So if you were asking me this question a year ago, I probably would have said, yeah, they help a little bit. I'm not a physician, but they help something more than nothing, and something short of making you invincible. And so anything you can do to keep your focus on educating kids and keeping them, safe, and you should be in favor of doing that. But I think at this point now, we have so many other things in place that it wouldn't be necessary.
That's part of why it's so cold in here, because we have so many HEPA air filters going. Yeah, and the windows open.
The windows are open. It's 60-something degrees.
Right.
Well, they're there.
But it helps, so.
Yes.
Okay, next up, Director Bengendorf will ask you a question.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for being here, as everybody else has said. Students are at the heart of everything that we do here in Elizabeth. How would you contribute to this cornerstone idea as a member of the Board of Education?
It's remembering that it's about the kids, right? When you're everything a board does, and having been worked with boards as a member of cabinet, and then as a board member myself, remember you were keeping that focus, right? It's easy to get sidetracked into 100 other different directions and different issues, but to stay focused on kids and let that be kind of your bedrock, and when you're making decisions one way or another, that are you thinking about that? And then two, and I hope there's probably a question come up a little bit later, but two, remembering that in those events that you attend, that you're, it's being part of that that whole community and that movement, right? When you show up at these events, it adds some gravity to it because you care about more than just, okay, we endorse the financial reports or we, whatever other kinds of supervision that the board does, but also being present at events in that official capacity and showing, hey, I give a darn, I'm here. And that was always helpful when board members would show up. I will caveat that a little bit and say those are the events in which you're expected to show up. I think one of the things that I would not do is when members just show up at schools unannounced and as and hey, I'm here, and that is not helpful, right? Everyone stops and trips all over themselves. So remembering that you're one of a group of five, and you only have any power at all when the five of you come together and you have a quorum, and remembering that, so you're not 1/5 of a superintendent. You're a board when you form a board.
Right. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, I'll go next, obviously.
Okay.
In your opinion, what are the top two or three most important characteristics of an effective school board member? You've been one, so this is probably easier for you than some of the others.
Well, and so I think I
you've talked about
a second
it.
Ago, right?
Yeah.
It's remembering that. It's not getting caught up in things. It's remembering that this is bigger than us, right? It's about the kids, and are you thinking about that? Are you coming in prepared? The community expects your board members to show up having read the agenda, to be familiar with it. I think also it's good to be, I don't say cooperative necessarily, but collegial with staff. And what I mean by that is don't come in with a gotcha. I find some error, or I have some really, and I will as a former CBO, I'm sure I'm going to find wait a minute, this is a little bit odd. Don't wait until you're in the meeting and try to, this is...
You'll be happy to know this board doesn't do that.
No,
not ever.
Send that in advance, and then you can have an informed dialogue.
Right.
And then I would repeat the answer from a second ago, that remembering, if selected, there is going to be a time at some point in which I am going to disagree with the majority, and that's okay. And so you say, listen, I disagree with you, and here's why. And if three folks say the other, then great. That's how this thing works, and letting that go. And it's important, if you do disagree, to go ahead and disagree. You don't have to be unanimous.
Right.
But also, you can disagree without being disagreeable. I think that's
you can
that's
disagree
important.
And keep working together.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be answering the questions, but yeah. Disagree, but be able to keep working together.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I have another question for you.
Okay.
How important is it for you to have a trusting relationship with the superintendent? And how would you achieve that?
Ooh. Let me take the second part first. How do you achieve that? You achieve that by being a straight shooter, right? You're not playing gotcha. You're not doing any gimmick. You're not working any angles outside of the board meeting process, right? So, you're not trying to go get... Trying to go down to a school district, a school site, for example, and then, hey, what are you hearing about? Or creating that palace intrigue is so being straight and honest, I think, builds that. There will be, certainly, in enough school districts over enough places, there are going to be times at which the board and the superintendent are going to be crosswise. And if that's the case, I think that same logic applies. You are candid and straightforward, and you give those opportunities. Hey, superintendent, we collectively, because you've got to be able to count to three, we're feeling this or we think this, and then the superintendent has that opportunity to go, make those changes if they need to be made. But again, I believe strongly that this is not a five-headed superintendent. Right? You hire a superintendent, which is really the district's, the board's only employee. And so work through that district, and you should be able, I think, to make it work. I'm yet to see it in my multiple years working with many different school districts, a case in which they couldn't work it out except for when you know, sometimes boards can get a little funky, and then they come in with an agenda, and
yes,
then
they can.
Right, and so don't do that.
Right.
We are not planning on doing
good.
That.
Yep, that's
good. We are not a funky board.
Right? No,
I am not in the next 2 months.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Kevin, do you have another one?
Yeah. Actually, you already kind of, unless you want to recap, that's my question was describe the kind of relationships you want to have with your fellow board members. You really did hit that a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I think it's I think it is important that you have a good, you know, open dialogue, and that everyone, you know, shoots straight, and that means keeping the closed session, you know, things that are closed session, and also remembering that the closed session is not a substitute for the public meeting that follows, right? So just do things the right way, and if everything we do is, if we don't do anything immoral, illegal, or unethical, then great. I mean, it's what a great opportunity to be a part of probably the single most important thing that happens in a town. It is typically almost always the biggest single employer in a town. I mean, it's a big job, and you ought to have some fun doing it and take it serious.
Okay.
Great, thank you. What would you intend to be your major contributions within the Elizabeth School District if you were selected?
Sure. You know, as you said, you've read my resume. So for 5 years, besides my other, you know, uniform leadership experience, for 5 years we ran school districts running all the classified sides. So finance, transportation, facilities, bonds, benefits, negotiations, all of those things that aren't specific classroom, I have a pretty deep background in. Long way from saying I know everything or that I'm old, but I have some insights that I think might be helpful to a district, especially a smaller one that doesn't have the economies of scale that the districts I worked in were. So the district where I was a board member, we were like 700 students. It was small. And that became very challenging because one employee can make the difference between, you know, whether you're running in deficit or in surplus. And one single workers' comp, I mean, all of those things, right? And so I have, and your staff isn't going to be particularly deep. So I have some insights and some background that I would hope would be helpful. Again, with this huge caveat that does not mean that I think, well, here, I'm here, and let me just tell you how to do this. But here's some things I've seen, and maybe it's helpful. And
new ideas helped a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Let me find my question. You've already answered. I know you understand the board's role as it relates to the superintendent, so I probably don't need to ask you that one. What are your most effective communication skills?
My most effective communication skills. That's an interesting question. I enjoy talking to folks. I enjoy having relationships with folks. I generally get along with folks. I make a joke quite frequently that, you know, when things are rough, and I say, well, no one's shooting at me. And I say that genuinely, but having been shot at, it's not untrue.
It means
right? So it really, if you put that in perspective, like, no matter how bad things are, like, let's get through this, right? Let's all just sort of take a breath, and not getting, you know, too far off on one extreme or the other in terms of being things are great or things are wrong. Like, that's just, right? And so being a, you know, almost pragmatic to a fault. We can have these conversations. We may not disagree on a topic, but there'll be a lot of things that we do agree on, and we can, you know, building that sort of common ground, I think, has been a strength of mine, even in cases where folks and I have not seen the world the same way. It's great. That's totally fine. It'd be boring if we did.
Okay.
True.
Okay. Well, I think he has anything else.
That's great. One more quick one?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Bill, in your write-up, you talked about your experience on the finance side in the school district.
Yep.
What did you observe in ours that led you to the conclusion that it was stable?
So I took a fairly cursory glance at yours, quite frankly. I had no intention of running for the school board. I just happened to see the thing. So it would be hesitant to say unequivocally that, you know, I have deep knowledge of yours. It looked to me that you were not in deficit spending of any great magnitude.
No, that's correct.
But also when I looked at that, I recognized that again, my expertise is more of the in California tax system and the like. But last year was such a crazy anomaly, it's hard to draw any inferences, right? So I need to go pull back a couple of years worth and see. In particular, I want to look at, you know, just how do your projections then end up, you know, turning out? Because frequently, you're on the same fiscal year that California is, and frequently you make these projections, of course they're going to be wrong. The question is, are you able to then make changes throughout the year as soon as you start to remember, okay, this person didn't retire, or we've had fuel costs, or now transportation, one bus breaks, and you know, holy smokes.
We have an excellent CFO. That's how
we do. He is
excellent.
And it's hard because, right, no place in the country pays teachers what they're worth, right? But you can't bankrupt the district, particularly the next generation of students, to pay for this one. And it's just tough. I mean, I've been in those negotiations numerous times. And it is just, and then the board, of course, has to be sometimes a bad guy and say, I'd like to give you 4%. I can't.
Right, and exactly.
How long have you lived in the district?
I'm coming up on a year and a half now. Okay. We moved here
in 2019? After.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate
it. Appreciate
it. It was great talking
to you.
Just want to break. We're going to keep going.
You guys, are you okay? Everybody
indifferent?
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
Can we
check
out?
Yeah. It is. It's
you've got a sweater on. You've got a coat on.
I bring a jacket. Always time. Always hot.
No, I brought a sweater, and I got a sweater
it's,
on.
It's a little chilly in here.
Okay, I turned the air off.
Oh, thank you, because I think it's blowing right on.
Well, the air's going to keep circulating, but like the AC.
Okay.
Okay. So next up we have Rhonda Olson.
Okay.
Did you need to break for me?
No, I'm good. Okay.
Yeah, you let me know, Kristen, if you need a break.
All right.
You could sit in the hot seat over there.
The hot seat or the cold seat?
Well, tonight it's the cold seat.
Yeah.
It's really cold in here.
It is a little chilly.
Hi, Rhonda. Thanks for coming in. Thank you. We, on behalf of the board, thank you for applying for the position and for taking the time to interview tonight. If you could give us a brief 1-minute overview of who Rhonda Olson is.
Boy.
Just
a minute.
Yeah. Since we're limited on time.
Outside of what you've already provided, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe that would change.
Well, born and raised in Nebraska. Don't hold it against me. I'm a Cornhusker.
Go Big Red.
Yeah, I've spent 11 and a half years in property management, where I got a lot of good experience dealing with people in different kinds of situations. And I went to school, got my degree in business administration and accounting, because I loved numbers. I'm a number cruncher.
You're the opposite of me.
I am. I'm budget, I'm planning. You know, about halfway through, I thought, computers are becoming more popular. Maybe I should look into that. Like, the practical side is like, no, already gone this far. You've spent this much money. You know, just finish up what you're doing. Finished up what I was doing. Me and the hubby said, well, Nebraska's been great. You know, we come out here skiing every year, so let's go. Moved out here, decided, I don't really like sitting behind a desk and crunching numbers all day. It's not a challenge in it. So I went back to school for Cisco Certified Network Associate, went to Arapahoe, got my my professional achievement in computers in Cisco, and just ended up working in the department, in the IT department, starting out as a work study, and just kind of, everything just kind of snowballed from there. 21 years later.
Nice. Okay, so Director Karcher will start off with the questions for us.
All right, Rhonda. Parents in Elizabeth expect teachers, administrators, and board members to keep political agenda out of schools. How would you work with your fellow board members to successfully continue an important standard?
Well, in my mindset, there has been too much politics in schools, to be honest with you. Everything is politicized anymore. I think that as long as you keep the focus on the students and what it's going to take to help them succeed, I think that is the most important thing. You need to put politics aside. And again, focus on the kids.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Director Frumbrella, we'll ask you the next question.
So I will first say that I've seen you at some of our meetings, mm-hmm. and I never knew who you were, so it's nice to finally meet you. I saw you in there, I'm like, I don't know who that is. But anyways, so thanks for coming to some of those, and nice to meet you finally. So my question for you is, like, since March of 2020, COVID policies have made a major source of disagreements, arguments amongst families, schools, and so forth. So questions I have is, are you in favor of requiring all staff and students to wear masks, and why or why not?
Well, I would have to say that based upon the science, I would say no, not at this time. If the science showed that masks would make that much of a difference as far as protection, then I would reconsider it. But when you look at how negatively it has impacted students and their school experience, their education, in their intelligence, their achievement has dropped. I believe I thought I read 21%. I think that the negatives of the mask outweigh the positives, and you guys have done a wonderful job of putting in the air systems to help combat some of the effects, maybe the outbreaks of COVID. And I think ultimately, I don't think it's what the parents want. And ultimately, they're one of the biggest stakeholders. You know, the students have to deal with wearing a mask every day. But ultimately, the feedback from the parents and their input and the science, the data, right now, I think it all leans towards the mask.
Director Beckendorf's next.
Yeah. Students are at the heart of everything we do here in Elizabeth. What would you consider to be your biggest contribution towards this cornerstone that we have here in the district?
I think helping to preserve what you guys, your tradition of the student focus, and keeping politics out of it, focusing on student achievements, focusing on helping build them up. I made some notes of all of the different things that you have going on. You have the profile of graduate coming all the way from kindergarten, through high school. You have the different phases that you kind of invest, the different investments in the students, as far as, in kindergarten and in the elementary schools. Webb. You have Webb, you have PBIS. One of the things I found really cute is the Coyote competencies. But, you have all of the investments you make in the kids in the elementary schools, and then you build upon that and you take them into the junior high schools. And excuse me, I got confused on the web. The web is to help them make that transition from elementary into the junior high school. Which, man, I wish I would have had that when I was going to junior high school. And then, that kind of all snowballs into high school, where, you help them develop those career paths even further. As far as, in middle school, what's your passion? And in high school, you focus on, internships. There's concurrent enrollment, but, you open their eyes to all of the different possibilities out there and things that they can do. Even if it doesn't involve going into higher education, you help them focus on the opportunities that are available to them.
Thank you.
Okay. In your opinion, what are the top two or three most important characteristics of an effective school board member?
Well, ultimately, it's the student focus. Someone who's going to put in the time, someone who can work well with others, who's a good communicator, who can listen, find common ground, prioritize, of course, the student, but listen to what the parents have to say, because they're very highly invested in, and because the community, it seems very community-oriented, and I think that they have a pulse on what's going on.
Great. Thank you.
All right. How important is it for you to have a trusting relationship with the superintendent, and how would you achieve that?
Well, in the meetings that I've attended, he's appeared to be very informative, very knowledgeable. I think it's keeping those channels of communication open. Ultimately, he's kind of your eyes and ears as far as what's going on. So, he comes to you with the issues. He comes to you with the ideas. Ultimately, he's the one that you have to talk to and that you have to listen to know a lot of what's going on.
Okay. Thank you.
So, describe the kind of relationship you want to have with your fellow board members. I said that a couple times already.
I got to make sure. I didn't say it to her husband. I'm sorry, but I am fun.
Sorry.
It's all about me. No, I'm sorry.
She keeps us laughing.
She does. She's already
smiling.
Well, it's kind of like the work relationships I have now, with my team at the school. I like it kind of informal. I like it communicative. No thin skins. Don't offend easily. I don't. But people that you can find common ground and you can discuss stuff with, without worrying about hurting people's feelings and, understanding the priorities where we're all at.
Perfect.
I don't like to argue. I'm not an arguer. I'm a talker. So, even if you don't agree, you can agree to disagree. But ultimately, you have to work together to come to a solution and decisions.
We don't work on that.
No. You can tell.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul.
What would you intend would be your major contributions as a school board member here in the Elizabeth School District?
I'm hoping that some of my experience in education already in higher ed and working with the state of Colorado, I'm hoping that I can transition some of that experience and knowledge into this. I've got a lot of budget experience. Our average budget just in my department alone is about $1.6 million, which I know doesn't touch what you guys do, but we have to do a lot of planning as far as hardware and software and inventory and tracking. You have to look at bigger items, especially in technology things. It seems like they expire faster and faster, so you have to look at a lot of items as far as what's aging. Break, fix, priority, and planning. So project management, budgeting. I do a lot of personnel management. I have a great team, which is wonderful. I hire people so they can do their job. So that's some of the stuff that I'm hoping I can bring in.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and can you describe the board's role as it relates to the superintendent's role in the district?
Well, ultimately, the board's role is, from what I have read, is budgeting and policies. Budgeting and policies, and basically contracts. And I know that you guys probably have to make some of the rough decisions, like you said, wearing masks versus not wearing masks. Possibly you know, maybe some curriculum items.
Right.
Stuff like that. And ultimately, everybody else reports to him, and he's the one that comes to the board.
Right.
So he reports to the board.
Right. Okay, great. Anybody else have anything? Another one last question?
Nope. I think I'm good.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll take a couple minute break.
Drive safe. Thanks. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, so we are back in session after a short break, and it is 6:57 p.m. And next we will call in Ben Mead, since he is here before Dave Eddy.
Surprise, surprise, Ben. Sorry.
Oh, he'll be fine. And if Kevin gets here, we'll call him in next.
All right, you're going to have a seat right over here.
All right. She gets a big desk.
She does. She's special.
Special or smart?
One or the other.
She can hide.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for your interest in applying for the Elizabeth School Board. And thank you for coming in. Sorry we're calling you a few minutes early.
No problem.
No sense making you wait. So, and if you could give us a 1 minute overview of Ben Mead, that would be great. Just whatever.
Ben Mead. That's an interesting question, actually. 38 years federal government, all of it in Department of Defense. Spent most of it auditing with internal audit in Marine Corps Finance Center, and then went to Navy Audit Service, and then to Office of the Inspector General, Department of Defense. Love that name.
And did that it's a mouthful.
For a lot of years, and loved it immensely, and just kind of unfortunately kind of came time to go.
Right. You know?
And I went and worked with CDOT as an auditor for 8 months. Hated it, to put it kind of nicely. And then after that, I went to Big R in town here for 4 months. And you know, after doing this, and coming down here and doing that, it was a little hard.
How long ago did you do that? Were you at Big R?
Quit in March.
Okay, so you didn't know Bill Francis when he was working there?
No.
Okay.
No.
You missed meeting a cool guy.
Yeah. But education has always been a biggie for me. You know, always observed it. I got a big kick out of 13 years in public school. Enjoyed that. Believe it or not, most people don't admit that.
No, they don't.
But I enjoyed it, and went to two different universities, got my degree in accounting, and that's where I'm at. That's probably over a minute, but okay.
That's fine. That's fine. We're just kind of a little small little introduction. So Director Karcher, we'll start off with questions for you.
Hello. How are you doing? All right. Parents at Elizabeth expect teachers, administrators, and board members to keep political agendas out of the schools. So how would you work with your fellow board members to successfully continue that practice or that standard?
That's really easy. As an auditor, years and years of that, you don't do that. I mean, it's just a no-go from the start to finish. And you look at everything analytically. You look at it. You determine best, you know, how it fits. Is this the best thing? Will it work? Will it not work? That sort of thing. You just don't. Politics isn't part of it. It's just simply not part of it. Your answer to the taxpayer, to the parents, families, all that sort of stuff, that's it. That's all there is to it. You just, politics is not part of the game plan. That may be overly blunt, but that's
that's fine.
It's the only way to keep it.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Next up. Director from, just to say professor. Director from Beller.
Professor?
Yeah. She's a professor.
She just got a promotion.
Again, it's all about me.
You got to do it with an accent now?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Okay, so my question is, since March of 2020, COVID policies have been a major source of disagreements, arguments amongst the schools,
amongst families, parents, you name it. So my question is, are you in favor of requiring all staff and students to wear face masks? And then why or why not?
No. And the easy for me, I've tried, when I was at Big R, they wanted us to wear face masks. I find it almost impossible to breathe. I tried, I don't know how many different ones with it. And a couple of times, you're working, you're concentrating, and all of a sudden you realize, I've got to sneeze. That's not the best thing to do. I also have been reading up a lot about it, and I don't think the face masks are effective or the best way to go anyway. I can elaborate, but I think that answers the question. I'm really against face masks. If it's mandated and all that, make the best of it, but I'm against it overall.
Very good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Director.
Thank you.
Beckendorf, I'll just give the next question.
I was waiting for the king one. The king.
What am I, Joplin?
No, you're the jester. Oh, my
God. The poor jester.
No, I think Kim is the jester.
Yeah, this is a hard crowd.
Yeah, we are. Students are at the heart of everything that we do in this district. How would you contribute to this cornerstone idea?
Probably broadly, because I'm not really sure how much I'd be involved in with the timing of those sorts of things. I give the best we can with what we've got. Buy the best, get the best, work with the best, also be totally involved as much as humanly possible in looking at everything from the textbooks down to the building structure to everything. I mean, just all of it to make it work as a package. One of the things that I was looking at particularly was at Big R and all that was all the construction going on in the area, and I thought that high school's not that old. I watched them build it and all that sort of stuff, but is it going to make it 10 years down the line if the construction keeps up? And that would be one of the things that I would probably be, let's look at the long term of this as much as possible and determine if we're going to have to expand this or what we're going to do to make it work. And with that in mind, again, all of it fits together in a big chewing or hand in glove, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And that's would be my approach on everything is, again, analytically approach it, look long term as much as possible, and look at tax. I mean, everything's changing, COVID particularly, but everything's changing. We're getting a McDonald's. You know, so on and so forth.
And Dairy Queen.
Yeah, well, the Dairy Queen's a done deal. I mean, so far all we got is a sign for McDonald's and no trash yet. And so all of those things all fit in. So you've got to keep a finger to that pulse to not only see what the school's doing, but what the community's doing and you know, make it best for the kids and graduate intelligent leaders, I think was a term used quite often in what I was reading. So, yeah, that's the approach. Again, analytical. But every once in a while, you're going to have to do a kind of a seat of the pants. This feels like the best thing to do. The numbers are kind of middling or something, and then you got to make a choice based a little bit on this feels right, this looks like the better approach.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. In your opinion, what are the top three most important characteristics of an effective school board member?
Again, analytical approach, long term as much as possible. Can't always do it. Sometimes the crystal ball, COVID would have blown that crystal ball right out of the
room. Yes,
it
did.
But always look to the future. Always look for better ways to do it. Sometimes it's not even a proposal. Something you're you know, cruising the internet or whatever, and you see, hey, you know, this school in Portland or whatever tried this and it seemed to work for them. Let's look into this and see if that's something that we might want to throw out there. You know, just, again, analytical, best you can get, work it for it, and I'm all about the analytical, as you can probably already tell. You just just do it dispassionately, basically from start to finish. But somewhere along the line, you get, you know, really into it, and you get excited about it. If we do this, we can improve this or whatever. And that's the sort of thing, you know. When the football team had an unbeaten season in one state, that was such a big boost to the neighborhoods and everything. Right. It was cool, and it was fun to watch. So I'm all for anything, sports, music, you know, I see Cinderella's coming, you know, so on and so forth. And that's the sort of thing you look for ways that have everything connected, everything talking, everything working, and all of that, you know, analytical timeliness, always being on top of as much as you possibly can. If you've got any chance to sleep occasionally, you know.
Right.
But all of those pieces all have to fit together, right, in my opinion. So that's, hopefully that answers it.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Ben, was there something that you think the Portland schools did good? No, I'm kidding.
I don't
answer that question. You just brought that up.
Yeah.
I do have another question for you, though.
Sure.
How important is it for you to have a trusting relationship with the superintendent? And how would you achieve that?
Trusting relationship, I would hope, but I think it's more respect and you know, understand that person's approach, your approach, you know, basically the oversight, if you want to call it that. Trust, yes, hopefully. Like I say, I think that would be hugely important if that person trusts me and the board, or that person, or vice versa, the board and that person, if they trust each other, that just makes it so much easier and so much more efficient and effective, and that's the only way to go. But important, yes, it is, but I think having a good working relationship, hopefully trust is there. Gosh, I hope it's there, but you know, you can have a working relationship that makes or gives the best and everything without a lot of trust, because I've had bosses that I didn't particularly trust nor respect, but I knew what they were wanting, and I had no problem with that, and we got it done and everything else. So.
Thank you.
So my next question is, describe the kind of relationship you want to have with your fellow board members.
And friends.
Just before I can say it, I'm fun. I said it to everybody so far. Just about everything.
You've got to open up a little bit more.
Personally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Too calm.
She holds notes.
No. Yeah. Friends, respect. Like I say, I think respect is hugely important. I'd like to be friends. I'm not talking about going out every night and hanging out or anything like that, but see each other in Walmart or something and say, "Hey, how are you doing? You know, did you hear about such and such? You know, whatever, that sort of thing." Work with them. Over the years, I learned a lot about body language and so on and so forth, and I pick up on that a little bit better than most people. And
I think you're analytical.
Yeah, just a little. Too many years of training in that area. But that's the thing. I mean, you can see she just did this. I don't know if
I'm
she
cold.
Did that on purpose.
No, I'm cold.
It's we get cold.
I am so cold.
The girls get cold.
Okay. Yeah, just watch. And if you see that you've hit a nail, you know, hit a nerve or something like that, and all that, say, "Oh, I'm sorry, that didn't go well, did it?" or something, and work with that, and make sure that you've got a working relationship, but hopefully as friends.
For sure. We're all friends.
You guys seem to joke a lot, and that's always good. I'm rarely overly serious at work. I've been known to get real intense, but right, that's part of the old auditor job was
right.
Sometimes you got to, and you got to go nose to nose with a two- or three-star general or something like that, you can't joke with them. They don't like it.
Here.
What would you intend to your major contributions as a school board member would be here in the school district?
I'm trying real hard not to use analytical again. Look at everything. See what's in front of us. See what decisions have to be made, and be the expert, hopefully one of the experts in the room, but at least one of the experts, but the expert if necessary. Do the research, do the searching and reading and all that, and any decision that comes up that I'm facing, be the expert. Know what the pros and cons are, and like I say, auditing does that. You just do that automatically after 35 years of auditing. So.
Thank you.
Can you describe the board's role as it relates to the superintendent's role in the district? I didn't ask you the question I was going to ask you because I think you've already answered it, so I went on to the third question.
I'm messing the problem up.
No, you're fine.
Oversight, I guess, would be the best word I can think of for it. Follow what they do, and I'm saying they as in he or she or whatever, and monitor that, question anything that just really pops out as, whoop, I don't think that was right, and all that, and spend some quality time with them. Again, talk it out. Work it out, discuss it. You know, the worst thing in most jobs that I've had, where I've had that role, would be firing somebody. I just cringe at that thought.
Right.
And I always keep thinking there's got to be a better way to do that than this. And so I work with everybody and try and make it work. Give them areas that I think they need to improve on. They can do the same to me, you know, a working relationship, respect, trust, so on and so forth. Okay. So that would be our role in my mind, and my role okay. is to work that as much as possible.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Did I go out of time, Carol?
No, did
my
I?
Second question? No, you didn't get to ask your...
No, he had answered.
Oh, gotcha.
Already.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Never mind.
You're confusing me.
I don't mean to confuse you. I just didn't want to go out of turn. You know.
I don't think we'll get too angry at you if you do. Right. It's okay. We'll forgive you.
Thank you.
But well, I think you did. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We appreciate it. Absolutely.
I was thrilled. Wife and I were looking into how to apply to run and all that. And when this popped up, it was like, oh, there's a blessing for you. I was just thrilled. And, you know, I've been wanting to get here. Work has always kept me away.
Right.
And it's been a big, major concern of mine. I live here. I work here. Well, have worked here. Uh-huh. And so on and so forth. And I've been wanting to get involved for years and years and years. And when this came up, it was like... Thank
awesome.
You very, very much
Thank
for
you.
Having me and
Absolutely.
Listening to it and all that.
Yeah. Sure.
Any questions, anything that you got that I haven't answered or anything
so.
Like that?
I don't
We're
think
good.
So. Thank you so
all
much.
Right. Thank you very much. That was too easy.
Thank you.
Now, she's the public, right? You said this
I
was
public.
Public.
I'm taking pictures of everybody. It's my friend who writes for the paper.
She's the photographer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, multitask. That's better than a gesture. I will remember you forever.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Drive safe.
Yes.
Oh, we'll just a little bit of a hill.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay. So I would bring Kevin in since he was on time. What time is he supposed to start?
Sorry, Carrie.
7:30.
Oh, that's okay.
Just.
Oh. Now I've got this moniker on my, you know.
Or you could be a top... Or
no,
top
that's loser, isn't it?
Or you could be a top umpire.
Let's bring Dave in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll bring Dave in. Dave Eddie in.
Dave Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay. Need to stay in order.
Sort of in order.
Kind of.
Yeah. It's his fault.
How are you?
Good.
Hey.
You're over there in the hot seat.
All right.
To win or lose?
Played TCA, which is usually in the state finals. So it's a tough, but the boys really, I can never question their effort. They're just made of that moxie of I'm never going to give up. So
that's cool.
It's a great set of boys this year.
So I'm supposed to announce we are interviewing Dave Eddy now. Thank you for applying to be on the seat on the board. Thanks for coming in and taking the time tonight. If you could just give us a quick 1 minute, who's Dave Eddy, that'd be great, just for the record.
Yeah, you bet. So I moved here with my family back in 2010. Came from California. Five of my 10 children have gone through the Elizabeth school system. I think when we moved here, I had two in Singing Hills, two in the middle school, and one in Elizabeth. And so all five of them have progressed over the last 10 years and graduated. I work for the Boeing Company. It's my day job. And been married to my wife, Brooks, 39 years.
Congratulations. Yes. That's great.
We live in Spring Valley. Pretty much summer.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Director Karcher is going to start out with the questions.
All right. Dave, parents and Elizabeth expect teachers, administrators, and board members to keep political agendas out of the schools. How would you work with your fellow board members to successfully continue that practice and that standard?
So being in a representative of a private company, I have to walk that line every day. So for me, it's just re-emphasizing that as in any organization or any governing board, the communication that would have to happen from the board, from teachers, those type of things. Many times issues come up and then the political posturing begins. In a lot of my work, again, from a professional side, I get asked all the time on what the Boeing position is on this particular issue. And so for me, I've been doing it so long, it's just very straightforward that you understand the question based on which organization you're having the communication with and who you're representing. Then as a body, you have those discussions if necessary. And so to me, it would be very straightforward to have a discussion with the school board about any particular issue and whether we had influence coming from any party to say, you know, that's not appropriate. We're going to deal with the issue and we're going to deal with what's before the board and make a decision as a body.
Good. Thank you.
Director from Mellor will ask you the next question.
Earlier, I was professor.
She's demoted back to director.
I didn't say something right, I guess. Yeah. Okay, so my question for you is, since March of 2020, COVID policies have taken a major source of disagreements, arguments amongst the schools, amongst families, and so forth, which everybody has experienced. So my one question for you is, are you in favor of requiring all staff and students to wear face masks, and then why or why not?
Okay. So again, I have to separate my personal from my job aspect of it. My personal opinion is no. I do not believe they should be required to wear masks. That's based on my personal action, one of going and being vaccinated. On the corporate side, I've received so much data and information. The Boeing Company currently now requires all my employees, when they're inside of the Boeing facility, to wear masks 100% of the time, vaccinated or not, due to the recent pandemic. Up until about 2 months ago, if you were vaccinated, you could come to work without a mask. So, again, from my personal perspective, I do not believe masks should be required at school. I believe that the protocols and the information that not only the superintendent but the school board have at their disposal determine policy. And so every school district, I'm sure, has struggled or is dealing with these particular requirements on whether we should require masks for kids or not. And again, that as a governing body, I think the issues are discussed, and then the decision is made as a board, and then that would be implemented by the school district. But my personal opinion is not.
He's writing. As soon as he's done writing, Director Beckendorf will ask the next question.
Oh, we'll have to get right slow, can I say. Students are at the heart of everything we do here on the school board. What would you do as a board member to contribute to this important cornerstone that guides our board?
Man, there's a bunch of things running through my head. So I think the first one that jumps into my mind has to do with the equity that exists in an education. As my kids went through the Elizabeth education system, I, like many of other parents, were determined that they should go to college. That should be the, you know, the route. But as I've participated in some of the executive boards that I'm a member of, and as well as contributing and having discussions with teachers here and the administration, and I work for a company that demands bachelor's degree in order to work as an engineering company, right? I really had my aperture opened, if you will, from the standpoint of when I look at the data that says, you know, 55% of the kids that come out of the Elizabeth School District go on to some sort of post-secondary. So immediately, even though professionally I look for those individuals, what happens to the other 45%? And I think that is where I've tried to help out in the different programs that many of you are aware of, is that education within the Elizabeth School District should be 100% equity, regardless. There's those pocket of kids that are, I'm sure, are told on a daily basis, you're not going to college, you're never not to anything. Then you have the other pocket that says, well, you don't have any money, there's no way you can go to college. And then there's the middle ones that have no idea what they really want to do. Education may be part of it, post-secondary, but they're really not sure. And then you have that other part that's, yeah, I'm going to college, but I'm still not sure what I want to do. And then you have the last ones that are, I'm going to MIT, Harvard, Yale, wherever, right? They have their course set and they are motivated. So as a school board member, I think I would look to, again, figure out the best way for elementary, middle, and high school here to provide 100% equity education for all kids, regardless of the access. Because I've seen it too many times in, you know, being downtown, the schools with the money create access. Dealing with the rural schools for the past 18 months, they don't have money and the access isn't there. That shouldn't be the way it is.
Thank you.
You bet.
In your opinion, one of the top two or three most important characteristics of an effective school board member?
Listening would be the first. As a father, I tend to transmit a lot with my kids, right? And so as I've gotten older and I've learned that listening is a very, very key aspect of being able to effectively make decisions. Probably the second would be understanding the needs, and that kind of goes parcel with listening, understanding the needs on every aspect of the district, whether it's transportation, whether it's mental health, whether it's academics, whether it's teacher retention. Once again, hearing and understanding the issues for this particular district would allow then the board to make decisions and be able to decide where the money goes resources-wise. opportunities that might exist for the administration to go after things like grants, those type of things. And I think probably the last one would be the investment in teachers. Kids come and go. My kids came through and they left, and some of them are doing real well, and some of them are still trying to figure out what they want to be. But I think the investment in teachers have the ability to influence many, many years, if not a generation of kids. And so investing in them and showing them that we value them, even though Colorado's high 40s in the amount of money that we spend per student, that would lead to retention here. That would attract teachers. So that's probably the third one.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
You mentioned listening being a key one, and listening to parents, listening to teachers. What conduit do you provide, or would you recommend providing to be able to listen?
Yeah, so I think there's some opportunity there. You know, as a part of that Homegrown Talent Initiative, we did surveys where we had a bunch of students, we had some parents, we had some business leaders. Those type of outreach from the district, I think, are extremely valuable. I think open forums like you guys have already with school boards and the advertising that we see all the time that, hey, there's a school board meeting on Monday, it's open to the public. I think the openness that you have in every school in within the district too. I have yet to meet either one of the principals at the elementary school, the new one at the middle, or the high school that didn't have an open door policy. They're willing to listen to parents, business leaders, students, those type of things. So yeah, I think from my perspective, there isn't, you know, that whole closed mind is click kind of thing that exists here. I think it's very, very open.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, how important is it for you to have a trusting relationship with the superintendent, and how would you achieve that trusting relationship?
So, in my opinion, trust is something that you earn and that you develop. I think a critical aspect of the relationship between a superintendent and a school board can be very delicate from the standpoint of the board determines whether the superintendent sticks around or not. And so, being in leadership for a number of years, there's a couple things that I think I would find that would be core in building trust. One, I don't like to be surprised. Bad news doesn't get better with age. So if there are issues that the superintendent or the school board has, then we need to get them out and talked about, communicated. And I think the other aspect of it is as you begin to learn the superintendent's leadership style, how they effectively deal with their administration, that has a lot that you're going to, again, with the open forum of communication, you're going to get feedback from principals, teachers, parents, right? If the superintendent has made a comment or has done something that the feedback comes back that needs to be addressed, then being able to have that open straight dialogue with the superintendent from the school board is incredibly valuable because that's how things make change. And we all have blind spots. And so if you're doing something or you said something you didn't know had that effect, then being able to have that trusting conversation then allows you to fix that or correct it if it needs to be.
Describe the kind of relationships you want to have with your fellow board members.
So I feel the strength of any organization, including a governing board, is diversity. And so getting to know the backgrounds and experiences that each board member brings to the organization, I think, would be critical.
You want to be friends?
Absolutely.
I'm kidding.
Absolutely. There seems to be many times in a governing board, I think, a hesitancy to just be able to have a conversation and talk. And so my hope would be if selected as a school board member, that every conversation that we had or email or communication wouldn't necessarily have to be about, you know, district policy or guidelines or procedures. I know a little bit about some of you. You know, my wife works as a para over at the middle school. She's all passionate about horses. I'm a Cement City kid that has no clue about horses other than to buy a truck that'll haul them and a trailer that'll you can load them into. But I would love to know, because I know there's definitely horse people on this board.
I've worked on your horse.
So,
yes,
you know,
I have.
Tell me how many brownie points that would give me with Brooks right. If I could come back and say, you know what? I was wondering about... yeah. She'd look at me cross-eyed. But, no, I an effective governing and communication is all about developing friendships and relationships. I mean, you're together for at least 4 years, right?
Right.
So it wouldn't make a lot of sense to get to know each other much more than just, you know, the board meeting kind of things.
Right.
And lately we're together way too
we
much.
Have to say,
yeah.
We do.
My wife's wondering.
Can we go ahead?
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned, and this is you get your own question. You mentioned being an executive member of some other boards.
Correct.
So in relationship to your board membership with Colorado Succeeds and some of the other boards, if you were appointed to the Elizabeth School Board, how are you going to reconcile the interests of the different boards you serve on if they're not always in alignment with what's best for the Elizabeth School District?
Great question. So if selected to be a member of the board, then that loyalty would be above and beyond any of my other board responsibilities. The boards that I sit on as a representative of the Boeing Company, again, the diversity of this board, I think, would provide, the way I see it, an opportunity for some of the things that I get to be exposed to that I would be able to bring to the board, just like you guys would bring things to the board. From based on your experiences and your dealings here locally. So I would look at that as, hey, you know, I had an opportunity to go testify on the behalf of Senate Bill 106 last year. Later this week, I'm headed out to see Bennett and Hickenlooper to talk about education and why Colorado's 40-something. That is a representative of the Boeing Company and the boards that I sit on. So just to be clear, I sit on the Aurora Economic Development Council, Colorado Succeeds. I'm currently the chairman of the Colorado Business Roundtable, and I sit on the board for the Colorado Space Roundtable.
And you want on another board.
Absolutely. But again...
You manage your wife.
Or is she mad at you?
Or is she mad at you?
Yes. Oh, no. No, it's, again, the horse thing is Brooks's thing, and the... Up and out is
happy. Everyone's happy.
Good trip. But no, the loyalty that I would have would be very easy for me to look at what Colorado Succeeds is doing, or, you know, I don't think any of the other boards are probably.
No, probably more Colorado. I mean, do you see where there could be conflicts?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
What's best for them and what's best for Elizabeth
for sure,
schools?
For sure. But again, that is a voluntary board, and is again part of my professional Boeing.
Right.
Being okay. A member of the Elizabeth School Board, if selected, would be 100% dedicated to the loyalty and what's best for this district and the children, okay. Teachers, and community.
Okay. I think we're probably way past time.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
I know. And I'm feeling bad. Keep him. So thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
You bet. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
You drive safe.
Will do.
Okay, so next, are you guys good? We need Brett,
good.
No, I'm good. I just need to get to that section.
Okay, so next we will bring in Kevin Combest.
This is our last one. Want it? Hey, you'll take the seat right here.
Okay.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Thank you for taking the time to
sure.
come in and interview tonight and
yes,
applying for the position on the board. We appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you.
For the person over there taking pictures. Oh,
yeah, okay.
So if you could give us a quick 1 minute, who is Kevin Combest, just for on the record here?
Okay, who's Kevin Combest? I'm a recovering attorney.
No comment there.
I don't know how much longevity of jokes got left because I've been in the classroom now for this is my seventh year in the classroom.
It still works.
It still works. Good. You're good. Still hit. I've been a socialized teacher since 2015, mostly in Castleview High School. I was at charter school in Evergreen for about a semester, and then my current job opened up, and it was too good, the right place, and the right job. So. All apologies to Rocky Mountain Academy of Evergreen. But anyway, so who am I? I'm somebody who really, really likes to look at government and politics and public service. That drove me to, you know, study political science in school and then law school after that. And just looking for that thing, whatever that thing was, to make it all worth something. And it turned out to be teaching. And so now I guess my identity is mostly as at least professionally, is as a social studies teacher, particularly teaching government and AP government and law and stuff like that. I coach speech and debate, and you know, so that's the professional side of things. I'm a father to a 6-year-old and 3-year-old, and husband to their mom, Jess. And I don't know. I'm an Army kid, I guess, still. Kind of. I don't know what the expiration date on kid is, but... you know, grew up all over the place, Army bases. So I think it forms a lot of my dissatisfaction with private practice, and I was looking for something else because, you know, you grow up as an officer's kid, and you kind of develop an allergic reaction to making money. So I'm going to find something else to do. Okay. That's pretty much me.
Okay. Well, thank you. Director Carter will start questions.
All right. Parents at Elizabeth expect teachers, administrators, and board members to keep political agendas out of schools, how would you work with your fellow board members to successfully continue this important strategy?
So that's a really amazing question, and because in social studies you got to do a couple of things that seem contradictory. One is to sort of softly endorse the general premise of the country, or that's a political standpoint, to say that we're in favor of democracy, we'll put these flags in these places. At the same time, like you say, you can't have overt bias, especially applied toward students who are figuring things out for themselves. So I think the approach that we ought to encourage as a district, and one that I try to employ as a social studies teacher, is try to empower students to think critically and train them in arguments so that they're doing the work of citizenship, meaning that they find ways to have the arguments themselves and among each other, but in a really civil way. We've got these signs at Castleview High School that I've never quite understood, that say, you know, this is a safe space. And I tell all my students that I've never actually had a conversation with anybody about what that means, but for my classrooms, that means we're going to try our best not to offend, but reciprocally try not to be offended. Our teachers do need the flexibility, I think, to present information that can foster those arguments. And some of that information might be favorable to one viewpoint or another, but as long as the information is presented in an intellectually honest way and the teacher is, you know, being intellectually honest about, you know, whether it's history or civics or whatever it is, then the students will feel that they have a place to not just express their own viewpoints, because many of them by the time they hit high school haven't thought about it yet, right? But the space to develop those viewpoints. There are lines teachers can't cross, particularly lines of conscience, I think. You know, so if the question in AP Gov class, you know, for instance, you have to talk about Roe versus Wade. That's one of the things that's in the curriculum. You have to teach the legal predicate for that case and its progeny. But the substance of the case is a conscience question. And so a teacher can present, okay, here are the parts of the Constitution that the Supreme Court in 73 thought lined up to that position. But if somebody says, Mr. Combest, what is your position on abortion? And it's not because it's scary, it's because that's not their job, is to know, right? That. Their job is to form their, they need to know some sensitive information to form that opinion. But you can't invade their conscience. And so I think... keep your conscience viewpoints out of it while recognizing that we do have to engage in sensitive information. As long as every student knows that they're not being judged for their viewpoint unless it's something flagrantly disruptive or something, then I think you can make a classroom that really, really cooks.
Thank you.
Director from Belarus, the next question.
Okay, since March of 2020, COVID policies have made a major source of disagreements, arguments in schools, community, families, and all. So my one question for it is, are you in favor of requiring all staff and students to wear face masks, and why or why not?
No, I'm not. And I'm not wearing one tonight. That's not a political statement. I'm somebody who, I'm a little obsessive on COVID data. I crunch the numbers multiple times a day across multiple sources to see, this will sound weird, but to see honestly where the political arguments are going. We know a few things for sure. We know that vaccinations are available. We know they're very effective. I personally think, just from a political standpoint, that vaccine politics and mask politics are actually adverse to one another. I can't tell you, we didn't have a mask mandate to start the year. I can't tell you how many students came to me once it got reimposed and said, why did I get vaccinated? They didn't understand. They thought they were engaging in a transaction to get some piece of their life back. There's a lot of good data that indicates that, you know, okay, I don't think masks are harmful in terms of health, but there's a lot of real good data that suggests they're not that efficient at controlling the spread of the virus. So when you take all that into account and that we're trying to have an institution where, and I pointed this in my letter, that education is a compulsory institution they have to attend, right? And so you have to respect as many of their liberties within reason as possible. We're not going to have them do anything they want, right? But it's a reasonable request to say, hey, I'm young, I want to be able to see my friends' faces.
Right.
That's my personal viewpoint. I've stated this to our administration. I've stated this to your question earlier, in probably a little bit more hinted terms to some students when they ask off hours, you know. But I think if we've got three things, right? The science doesn't indicate that masks are super effective. A year ago when it was our only tool, okay, sure, let's be cautious, right? But now we're in a place where we have multiple therapeutics, we have multiple incredibly effective vaccines, and we have declining case counts and hospitalizations across the country. And the one exception I might make for any of this is, well, okay, what if our hospitals are full? And now the spread of COVID affects the next gunshot, car accident, heart attack. Colorado hospitals aren't full. And they never have been, at least not very recently. So I think this is where you opt for some liberty, especially when liberty and normalcy are the same thing. I'm tired of them. I have to wear one at work. But we all kind of understand the lay of the land, and the only place, and that's what gives me that, the only place left where you have to is the one place where people are compelled by law to be.
Right.
Where you can exercise, like I say, I have...
They don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice. I have a wide variety of political viewpoints, and so this is one of those ones that doesn't fit into any neat box, but it seems to me that we are trying to create, in this case, a district where people feel that they are included in the decision-making, and that people are engaging in reasonable approaches to everything, especially when you have compulsory relationships. And I feel that most of the stuff that, well, let's say Tri-County, most of the stuff that Tri-County has been engaging in is, I mean, you don't want to judge intent, but it seems to me that some people are very happy about continued relevance where people didn't know their names before. And so no. The short answer is no. I think it's politically disadvantageous. I think it's scientifically unnecessary. And I think it creates an adversarial relationship between government and community that pays for it. So, not in favor.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Director Benkendorf is next.
I'm so used to just looking at you. Director Benkendorf is next. I'm trying to introduce everybody.
That's okay.
I forgot him.
Students are at the heart of everything we do here in Elizabeth, and especially with this district. How would you contribute to the cornerstone idea as a member of the Board of Education?
I mean, so I think you have to be, if you're on a board like this one, you have to be collaborative at all times with every stakeholder. That includes parents, teachers, members of this board, and especially students. So there's a difference between merely reflecting the community, right, on the one hand, and taking and ignoring it on the other. There's a middle ground where you want to operate, which is in their interests, right? And I think a community's interests are to have an education, an opportunity to generally reflect their preferences, while keeping, you know, in mind certain things that we might be aware of that they don't see because they're not behind the scenes, right? But when you're bringing decision making from behind the scenes to a community, you got to tell them why you're doing it, how much you're spending, the reasons for your operation, why you're doing what you're doing. And if fully informed, they don't agree, well, then you change course, right? So in terms of what you'd be trying to do is to collaborate with as many people as possible at all times to create a relationship of trust, so that the next time we come back and when you come back and say, well, our teachers are not making competitive salaries with neighboring districts, particularly my district, which is about to move back to a traditional pay structure in the coming months, presumably that's what they said. Well, that's going to be a big expenditure. And if you don't have a trust relationship, they're going to see every new government interaction as inherently adversarial. And that's not going to get you anywhere. The students aren't going to have a better experience. Government's not going to have a good experience. And every election is going to be zero sum. And that's a really chaotic place to be. So the answer to your question is just to collaborate openly, honestly, transparently as much as possible with as many people as you can, so that they feel like this has been their decision, and you can point to legitimate data points and confirm that in fact it has been.
Thank you.
In your opinion, what are the top two or three most important characteristics of an effective school board member?
Like I said before, collaboration, that's number one. I think because it sort of begets the others that I think about, I think you got to be transparent as possible. That goes along with what I mentioned before. There's so many, you look at the national media landscape about every education argument everywhere, and people see, like I said, they see adversaries everywhere. And I think it should be the goal of school boards to try to dissolve those veils, or whatever you want to call them, where people think they're actually in control. They are, in fact, in control. And so if you're transparent, people are more likely to feel that way. And then this kind of goes back to the mask question. I think you have to be rational. It's not rational to, for instance, I've got a three-year-old, right? And he's in a private daycare in Castle Rock. And when that Tri-County order came down, it was like, is my three-year-old going to have to? Because that's nuts. I don't think they have three-year-olds, you know? And he's like a nuts three-year-old. He's nuts. Takes after his mother.
She can listen to this tomorrow. She can listen to this tomorrow.
I know she can. But she knows.
Get flowers on the way home.
I think everywhere was closed.
Safeway might still be open.
So anyway, I bring that up because it's not a rational decision to ask for that, right? Mm-hmm. And my daycare, to their credit, said, no, we're not doing that. That's absurd. We're not doing that. Because they're not in this building. They come and wrap our knuckles, maybe, you know, but they're not going to come because it's crazy.
Right.
So you got to be rational. And if the evidence indicates that one decision is correct, then do that decision. Now, if that decision has an emotional impact on voters, and many of them will, even if they're rationally made, then you need to rationally take that into account and explain. And again, it's ultimately a democratic system. If after seeing all the information and all the rationality, they still, even from a place of emotion, disagree with it, then you gotta flex. But if you have been collaborative, you've been transparent, and you have soberly thought through everything, or as many things as possible, then it's much less likely to create adversarial relationships, to develop any kind of acrimony between a community and the government that is paid for by the community. So I think if you do those three things, you can develop a real sense of cohesion that everybody understands they're in the same place and trying to do the same thing. Because that's probably the number one thing I would say, is that when I started my career in teaching, I was thinking like, I was talking about adversary, I was thinking like a lawyer. I was looking for like, what's that guy doing? What's he, is he turning over exculpatory from, you know? And it didn't get me where I wanted to be, either professionally or emotionally, right? So at some point I just decided, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to decide to assume the best intent in everybody. it's a rebuttable presumption, right? You can get evidence to the contrary, but for the most part, if you assume the best intent, you're normally rewarded, and that includes people who vehemently disagree with you. And if you operate that way and you treat people with respect along the lines that that would suggest, you will find a lot easier time to operate, again, particularly as a government that has to constantly justify its existence or go elsewhere. So, anyway, that's kind of cool.
Okay. Thank you.
That's very true.
How important is it for you to have a trusting relationship with the superintendent, and how would you activate or achieve that?
Well, now I've got my fantasies going with my own superintendent. I'm just like, well, I control this, it's an interesting question. I've not been in a position before to think about that, right? It would be incredibly important, obviously, to trust your superintendent because you're asking him to implement policy that you are disseminating, that you have taken, great care to determine. I don't know that it needs to go much past. I mean, it's easy to see that someone's not professional. It's easy to see if someone is professional. So, but I think the steps you would take require from the superintendent everything that you're requiring of yourself and everything the community is requiring of you. Right? That you would say, okay, you're going to be transparent. You're going to explain if I say A, or the board says A, and the decision, the way you implement that looks a little bit more like a Q. I need you to explain that difference to me, and maybe there's a great reason. But if that person is working collaboratively and transparently and is community facing the way a board has to be, then I think you'll be okay with that. We've had, I think I'm on my fourth superintendent in Douglas County at this point.
Sounds about right.
I think there's two interims. Well, one of the interims is the full one. Anyway, right. But there's been a number of changes, and you can see a huge change in community trust around a superintendent when they do those things. If they sound like an email, like they're being cagey, they might not be hiding anything. But I don't want to hear the bureaucratic speak. Like if the email's really long to get the amount of detail that you need, make it really long. But I need to know what you think. The question about masks. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's good.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
So describe the kind of relationships you want to have with your fellow board members.
It's good citizenship work. It's public service, and there's if the board operates in the way that I think any board ought to operate, then arguments will always be in good faith, right? There'll be a trust between different stakeholders. And so there's no reason why anything shouldn't be constantly collaborative and looking for the right answers. If there's five, a vote's a vote, and it's 3-2, whatever, that's fine. That's the process. But I'm sure there are rules against going out and having a beer or something together. I think it's like there's four people, it's officially a gathering. But tonally, you should be able to do that. You should be able to talk to each other as people. And again, zero-sum politics is just it's so draining, and it's not productive for any of the stakeholders that a school district serves. So, I'm not saying compromise on everything, but I am saying that the relationship that I would like to have with a group like this one is assuming the best intent, try to reach unanimous conclusions where we can, and where we can't, trust the process and trust the votes.
I'm being signaled that is time.
We'll do two more questions so everybody gets the same amount.
Sorry, I
talked. Sorry.
Just doing my job over here.
I know, you are. Thank you. Everybody's had two, so we'll do two.
It's a mistake to bring in someone who talks for a little. No.
Well, you are best for last.
What are your intentions that would be your major contributions that you would contribute as a board member here in the district?
I haven't really thought about it, to tell you the truth. I saw it was open. I said I think public service is a good thing. I've got a little bit of imposter syndrome where I think I train citizenship, right? But then I know I do public service for my job. Then I go, am I doing enough if I'm not out there serving in some other capacity? And honestly, that's it. My intentions are to make people feel good about their school district and to make people happy with the outcomes. And you know, the district and the town and the county, they're changing pretty rapidly with development. That's going to bring a lot of new socio-political elements in. That's going to mean new arguments. But all those people need to be comfortable. You know, we want them in our schools. We want them in our conversations. So I haven't really thought it through to the end of the line about what I'm trying to achieve, rather just that I think service is a good thing. And you know, I see the arguments in Douglas County, and I'd like to have a district that feels a little bit more like the town feels, frankly. I like living here. I want people to like going to school here. If I can help, that's what I would do.
Great. Thank you.
And can you describe the board's role as it relates to the superintendent's role in the district?
Can you guys ask that again? I'm not sure what.
So compare the board's role within the district to what you see the superintendent's role as being.
Superintendent's like anybody else who works in the school district. You're an employee of the district and hired by the board. The superintendent, I don't believe, is there in any district to be prime, right? They're not there to make policy. They're there to execute policy. You know, if you talk about a teacher obviously has a little bit of a different role to sort of guide students in ways that might be difficult to define. But when it comes to, you know, a representative of the board hired by the board to execute the board's goals for the district, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's you can have arguments about how exactly to do it,
right?
But if and we've seen this before, where a superintendent becomes prime, and they think that the job is to develop policy, that's a problem. Not necessarily because they might have the wrong ideas, but because, again, the democratic system breaks down. If somebody feels that an election can't change things, or that they have to have an election, you know, if they voted for A and they get Z, because the superintendent's doing something that's not what they voted for. Let's put it that way. The superintendent should be doing what they voted for the board to do. And if a school board doesn't like, or if a community doesn't like the decisions that a board is making, they can have another election, but you got to have that trust,
right,
that the processes work, and they appear not to if a superintendent is operating as the prime player. That's kind of a negative answer, but that
makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else, or do we get? Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Yes,
we appreciate it. It was great talking to you.
All right. Take care.
Appreciate you guys.
Drive careful.
Yes.
Oh, I live 3 miles.
That's everybody's saying.
Walk careful.
Remember, go get flowers.
Yeah.
Safeway, yeah, so you got a little further drive.
Are we still recording? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so with that.
Thank you
for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye. Drive safe.
Okay, well. I will adjourn this meeting at 7:58.